Man's Basics, A to L. What we're looking at on this page, as you come to it, is a slideshow of whatever seems to be happening at Mesopotamia that I can organize in the way of artifacts to demonstrate that these things exist B.C. in Mesopotamia, the land between the rivers, the Eden. And along the Euphrates, between the rivers, Euphrates and Tigris, you would find the step pyramids, the ziggurats. And one would be, say, right by the Persian Gulf in southern Iraq on the Euphrates, and another one be 50 miles up, and another one be 50 miles up. And there are many of these ziggurat pyramids. And in each one lived one of these giant alien gods, as the Bible said, the sons of God came down to earth and basically settled earth as a colony, their colony. And the reason they did that is because there was rare earth minerals, such as, well, one is they need the gold. That's number one. And then there's all these other things. Earth is rich with metals and minerals and DNA. It goes on and on. So whatever they can use, they would use from their satellite. And basically, it's the gold, like I said. They came and they mined it in South Africa, smelt it in the Garden of Eden, ship it to Mars for warehousing sakes until their planet flew by approximately where the asteroid belt is. And that's an easy flight from Mars to their planet, drop off the gold, pick up supplies, head to Mars, and then from Mars back to Earth. And those are your space truckers. So you've got the alien gods doing the work in the mines. A group of 300 or so working under Enki's leadership. Enki is the wisest of them all. Excuse me there. And you've got approximately 300 in the Garden of Eden. Well, where Enlil is setting up whatever is needed for survival on the planet. So they would set up the farming and the ditch digging and the irrigations and shipbuilding and whatever is needed there. Spinning yarn to make their clothes, raising cows and sheep to feed them, growing crops in the field. You're going to see what they were doing in just a few slideshows here, just to give you an overview of taking a look at the gods and early man. So under animal use, domestication. So under animal use and domestication, you're seeing various animals that are being used because the gods were looking for their use themselves. And then later, as man was developed, the man's copied the god. They could see how this animal could be used to lighten the burden, the yoke of the work. So the next one down, after animal use, of course there are texts there. I didn't star any of them, but there are texts worth reading. I've read them dozens of times. Next is astronomy. Who thought Who would think? But if you can, try to find slide 1B. When you find it, put your cursor on it to stop the slideshow. Up will pop a slight description of what you're looking at. If that description's in your way, put the cursor on the other artifact, and you've still kept the slideshow stopped, and you can review the one you're looking at. Let's look at 1B. 1B is just a little section of an artifact that's 5,000 years old. And what you're looking at is the solar system and the planets in their respective sizes and in their respective positions. It's a remarkable thing that just could not be done by man. And Pluto, by the way, wasn't discovered until 1937 or something like that. So when you see our solar system, which includes their planet, that's amazing. So once again, ancient man had lots of knowledge given to him so he could get started in his cities and setting up civilizations, all copying the gods, all taught to them by the gods. So as you go through the astronomy, you'll see some amazing slides and then some texts. And I just didn't star these, but some of these texts are very important. Next is beer brewing. Well, why would you want to hang around working on a colony if you can't have something to drink? You gotta work hard, why not play hard? So one of them started brewing the beer. Her name was Ninkasi. And here's artifacts of drinking. Alcoholic beverages. They had wine as well. And here are texts about Ninkasi. And you'll see. And I try to insert some artifacts inside the text to help you kind of understand what's going on there. Some of them do not exactly belong to that text, but it gives you an artifact so you can see the person, the god, the whatever the situation is. Next is bioengineering. And it's Enki simply looking for a worker, using animals and then finally ending up with Homo erectus, converted into Homo sapien. So here's some texts where they actually are doing just what I said. Adapa would be the model man, the first man that actually had his control of his body and his mind. Had many failures for thousands of years, and then using the clay as an part of the when they put the admixture in the petri dish, instead of a petri, they use a clay vessel, and it worked. All of a sudden, a Dapa. And that's model man who was kept in the Eden for the sole purpose of reproducing workers. And the worker race began. And gradually, that worker race was replacing the work the gods had to do. And when you think about it, they did all the work for a very long time. And there is an overabundance of work when you start from scratch. So they come to Earth Colony, they see there's a value here. They set up camp. Camp turns into nice houses, turns into cities, turns into city-states, which would turn into conquering of Sumer, of Akkadia, of Samaria, of Assyria, whatever it may be. Man starts conquering these areas. So after the bioengineering, and I strongly recommend that you read the ones about Adapa and the Iridogenesis. The Sumerian Great Flood, that mentions Adapa or Adam, and it's about Noah's Flood. So is the Epic of Atrahasis. He who saw everything, very interesting text. There are texts pertaining to bioengineering, meaning giant mixed breeds or animals mixed, trying to come up with a worker race, which we are. We're the ones that worked and became the ones who took the yoke of work from the gods. Next are boundary stones. They call them Kadur stones. Kings would set them out to publicly lay the boundaries of their realm, of their kingship. There could be many kings happening at the same time in each of these city-states. They had to set boundaries. And when you look at some of these stones, there's tremendous detail in the carvings. Also, there may be tremendous texts sketched into these stones. Tremendous artifacts. Many, many, many of them now destroyed by ISIS. Radical Islam, who does not want mankind, especially Islam, to understand their hidden ancient past. Very important in my mind. So there's a boundary stone slideshow. There's a cartography slideshow, ancient mapping processes, artifacts. Then there's a slideshow of commerce. Ur was the city of commerce. It was the metropolis, the business capital, the farming, the cattle pens, the sheep, all of these things, building this, building that, fashioning new clothes. Many of these things were happening in our, and then of course jewelry and things. All you need to do is go to Ur, the city-state, and you'll see many artifacts from there. But anyway, commerce is a thing that was coming out of Mesopotamia. Everything did. Okay, and you'll see slides to that effect. Next is communications. I mean, artifact number 10 is a satellite. That satellite establishes communications between Earth colony and their planet, Nibiru. So they are in communication with God, their father, who is the king of their planet, Nibiru. And the sons of God came down and colonized the earth. And here you see them communicating back and forth with each other as in their city-states, ziggurat to ziggurat, as well as from planet to planet, or planet to Mars for communication with the storage facilities, planet to space truckers as they move about cargo from here to there, all to help set up and maintain Earth colony for the gods. This is still Earth colony for the gods, and we are the worker race. They're just not in our face today as they were in ancient times, which I am showing you clearly here on my website. Okay, next came construction, and we're talking construction of mountain-like temples, houses for the gods. And all of them are made out of mud bricks. Just incredible how many mud bricks we're talking about. I can't even imagine the soil that they took doing this. But thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, they've been here. So they had plenty of time. And then the Earthlings came, and that they started making the mud bricks and continued to build these monuments. The design, the architect for the gods, his name is Ningis Zeta. Okay, so as you go through construction, housing, I wanted to show you, you're looking at temples being discovered, temples being archaeological digs as they go through them and discover this and that, stairways, gates entering the cities. Many artifacts and diagrams giving you an idea. Oh, if you can, go to artifact number 70 under construction. You'll see a whole line of people, modern day photograph of people lined up along this gigantic rock. This rock has been carved into a block, and this block is somehow carved perfectly and removed from its original place carefully and transported to whatever foundation they are laying. And if when you're using a block that big, you're probably talking about a landing zone, a spaceport of some sort where they can blast off and land, and the structure will hold the powerful forces of the blast-offs and landings. So you're looking at construction of many of these ziggurats, and you're looking at construction of Roman temples or what have you. Baalbek is in Lebanon. That's where that massive block is. And you can see pictures of it and other in the slideshow. And I think there were like three of these massive blocks. And then there's one that they never got out of the ground because it cracked or something. So unused ones that are damaged, just one that they found so far, and three used in that platform. And that platform, as I said, was used for blast-off and landing in Baalbek, Lebanon. Later, on top of that platform, were built temples, one after another, as time went through. It was either a ancient this temple, or then a modern day this temple. The Romans had it, the Greeks had it, it just goes on, and before that. So that gives you an idea of construction, an aerial view of some, an amazing view of things like the ziggurats high in the mountains, the artifacts, and perhaps even things historically known through the Bible, such as the Tower of Babel. When you start seeing these constructed huge monuments, you know, man just, he couldn't be the architect, nor could he move those blocks. So again, all of these things prove the existence of the gods who came down, colonized the earth, fashioned man into their image to become their worker replacements because they're tired of the work. So after construction and some texts pertaining to that, and you're mainly looking at kings doing construction on a particular god's temple. Very interesting information here. I suggest you read some of these. And there's quite a few of them. Entombing or burial, that of course comes from the gods as well, and there's artifacts to that. Farming, most important. The seeds that they didn't find growing on Earth already, they brought themselves from their planet. For instance, they brought a strain of barley that would grow in the mountains as things start getting developed and the fields get plowed and so forth. So they got barley going in a rocky soil. And as you look at these artifacts, for instance, artifact 17, just if you can get to that under farming, what you're looking at is the seated Enlil, the Earth colony commander, who has always used his son, Ninurta, the giant god in front of him. Ninurta is also his heir to the throne, King Anu. Next is Enlil, next is Ninurta. And what you're talking about here is Enlil, through Ninurta, hands the yoke of farming to the earthling. And as the earthling learns to raise the sheep, the other earthlings learn to raise the crops. And other earthlings learn to mine the gold in the mines. And it goes on, digging the canals. I mean, it's endless work. And then, of course, there's the feasts, and you'll see the earthlings bring the food, prepare it for the gods who are having a celebration of some sort of feast. They work hard, they play hard. And very interesting artifacts about farming. You'll see a plow that has seeding going on at the same time of plowing. Very interesting artifacts. And again, proving that what we learned from the gods. We didn't know what this seed was or that seed or how to do it properly. We sure learned. That's it. Farming wasn't even on our mind until they showed it to us. And then, of course, you know, you've got the fruit trees and all the other things that are growing naturally. So under farming, there are many texts. And each text gives you information about what's going on. Many of them, like how grain came to Sumer, or debate between the hoe and the plow. When it comes to grains and so forth, in growing of them, or the recording of them, you're talking about Nasaba, a very important goddess. So, again, all this information is found in the texts. Next is feasting and festivals. They love to drink their beer. They love to drink their wine. Later kings learned to do the same thing. Lay back, let the earthling fan them, and they'll drink their beer and their wine, being they're the giant king, the leader of the earthlings. After feasting and the religious festivals would come gaming. Incredible. Dice, board games, all kinds of games, many of them found in Ur. Just incredible stuff. So they had entertainment. Let me just keep going. They had hunting, and there are many hunting scenes where you'll find the king being the hero out there hunting. What's going on there? That's needs to be fixed. Anyway, as we go down these, here's jewelry. Making jewelry. Some of this is quite detailed. All of it valuable, and there was lots of ancient jewelry discovered, and gemstones. Okay, and Earthlings learned to do this from the gods. Kingship. If we look at, say, slide 1GA, there sits a giant mixed breed king receiving the laws from the giant god who came down. You can tell the difference from their size, but you can also tell the gods by the horn-rimmed crown that they use. Those are animal horns. And of course, everybody's got the long beard. Man is copying the gods. Today, man copies the gods with the long beard. Anyway, above this artifact is a symbol, which is an eight-pointed star inside a disc. You've got the king standing before the god, receiving the laws for the people in the city. You would have the high priest standing before the god, receiving instructions for his daily needs. The gods are taken care of, everybody's minding according to his wishes. Things go well. The king may continue on. Things don't go well. The king may find a quick end and a new king shows up. Anyway, kingship, the idea of kingship comes from their planet where their father, the king who started the royal family that came down to Earth, King Anu, is the ruler of the entire planet of theirs. When man began to number and they started to have sex with the daughters of man, Genesis 6, and they had children. The children became the heroes of old, men of renown. These children of half gods and half earthling, they're giant mixed breeds or semi-gods, and the first kings were descendants of these gods, mixed breed giants, who were much taller, stronger, faster, smarter than any earthling, and lived much longer. So they were placed in positions of authority as a go-between the gods and the earthlings. The god would go through the king to the cities and the laws being administered. God would go through the high priest for the festivals and, the honoring of the god who lives in that ziggurat and any gods that may be visiting into the city-state. They are a family of gods, by the way. So you'll see artifact after artifact of kingship on Earth. And of course, they're giant, semi-divine, mixed breeds appointed to king or high priest. And if they're female, priestess or wife to king. So here's a kingship text and Eridu Genesis strongly suggested the complete Sumerian kings list. If you see anything, take a look at that. There you'll find a list of kings prior to the flood as well as after, all on ancient artifacts. Who could live long enough to make that list? Only the gods. Next comes law and order. Well, like I said, the gods handed it to the kings. The kings enforced it in the cities. You'll also find some high priests in these artifacts as well. And again, it's authority handed to Giat Semit divine, offspring of the gods, as go-betweens between the gods and earthlings. So law and order. And texts concerning that, some of the law and order is not man's law and order, it's their law and order, such as the rape of Sud or Nenlil's descent. This is Enlil being sentenced to the underworld for rape. So they're not infallible, and neither are we. They have bad habits, so do we. They have desires, they get drunk, they get hungry. We are their duplication in a small model. And we are here originally to relieve them of their work. And I imagine we're still assisting them in every way we can. Whatever they need, they'll ask, and I'm sure somebody's delivering it to them. So after you get to law and order, there's a red heading that says to man's basics, page 2. As you click on that, now you're at the next group of slideshows of modern technology from basics. Now you have medical care. Oh my goodness. So let's take, for instance, slide number 4. If you can find your way to that, you will see a tent in the middle of that artifact. These are thousands of years old. You'll see a big tent there with a female kneeling, a male standing, and a male on the cot being tended to medically. And you'll see outside Ninurta holding his bow and arrows, a dog who belongs to a goddess named Bo, who happens to be kneeling there in the tent. She's a medical doctor, and she's the daughter to King Anu, and the spouse to Ninurta, standing there with the bow and arrows. Now, the giant god standing there is Bo's son, called Damu. He is a doctor, medical doctor, like his mother, Bo. And the two of them, or maybe she's even instructing him, are performing operations on the ill. Now, the ill could be a god or a semi-divine. Maybe even an earthling, if important enough. So you'll find ancient artifact after ancient artifact of the gods administering medical attention. You'll even find an artifact of somebody receiving x-rays. Lots of medical attention was given in ancient Mesopotamia. Lots of artifacts here. That's a lot of detail. These scenes existed. They would not have recorded these for all time if they didn't happen. That's a lot of work there. And these artifacts lasted thousands of years. Okay, after medical care, and I strongly suggest you go through that, there's some quotes on Damu, the doctor, full-blooded god. Then you get into metallurgy and the god Gebel. He is the god of the kilns. And he taught man how to forge this and that, the metals. And that came much later, of course. But as they came to Earth Colony and they needed metal for tools or whatever, like a plow, they would go to Gebel, who would forge those metals. And then, of course, here's a few of these texts that are quite interesting. They'll bring you some information. And they were there to give us historical information. Now, sometimes it's in, I'm not sure how you would call that, but it's not plain and simple. I try to tell you who these names are and what things mean as you read. I try to assist. Next is mining. Well, that was the purpose of them coming in the first place. As they became a one world order under King Anu and the previous kings, many kings before him, the planet became one government under one king. And you're talking about a one world government that you perhaps have heard before on this planet. There was a president of America, George Bush Sr., who talked many times of a new one world order. I guess a one government rule. Anyway, the concept of kingship and all of that comes from them. Mining was the main purpose, and as soon as they could create a worker race, mining was the instigator to the whole project. As soon as a worker race was created, it was the mines that were is where they were needed quickly. And so you'll see some artifacts pertaining to that. Next, in a brief description to the artifacts, next is music. Oh man, the gods loved music. And so you'll see several artifacts about musicians, some learning, some not, all kinds of things, even sex while they play music. They did all kinds of crazy things. They worked hard, they played hard. Next is pottery. All of these things came from ancient Mesopotamia. Later, as man developed, these things were taught to man so man could do the work and develop these artifacts, develop the use for having these artifacts. Man was learning, and he was happy to learn, and the gods were happy to teach him. When the gods felt he had learned enough to survive and prosper, they left the idea of walking with man behind, and now they are somewhat out of sight, although flying saucers are seen every day somewhere in the world. Some of those flying saucers belong to the alien gods from planet Nibiru who came down, whom we look exactly like and act like. So under religions and temples and high priests and priestesses, that's a great slideshow. Check it out. You'll see many of the mixed breeds are bald. That's basically to keep things like lice and disease away from the gods when they mix, when they stand together on Earth. The gods don't want diseases. I mean, these are gods that are highly advanced. They know exactly what they're doing. And these monuments were advanced architecture, much of which we can't do today, and man did not do. So under the religion, temples, high priests, and high priestesses, there are many texts, and many of them are basically about Inno, because he was the Earth Colony commander. His decision was final. You couldn't change it. So very important, here are the temple constructions under religion temples, high priests, high priestesses. I tried to insert in the text, again, I tried to put some artifacts. Some actually belong with the text. Some are just there to give you the concept. Many, many temples. Okay. Next is schools. Again, Sumer, first in everything. First with education. If you go, if you can, you'll find a little round stone that had been carved. That's called the shem, a cylinder seal. I'm sorry, not a shem. That's called the cylinder seal. And you would take that scene that's carved on there in the negative, rolled it on wet clay, and now you have a positive scene. That you would take the wet clay that now has the beautiful scene to it, fire it hot. The clay turns hard as rock, lasts for thousands of years, as you see here on my website. And you can make more of them, because there's the cylinder seal. It's the first printing press and was definitely used in education. And by the way, you can send this information to other cities and so on. Pass it around. Next, of course, the seals in the printing presses, reverse carved stones. Next is shipping and boating. I mean, wait a minute. You see all those seals and you see the artifacts those seals create into wet clay. Now, each one of these scenes are preserved by them because they felt these are important to be kept for mankind for all time. These have been buried for a couple thousand years at least. You have probably the first chance ever for you to see these things. It's rare any of us has seen these things, and to understand them is most rare. And that's why I'm here with this website showing you step by step, slideshow by slideshow, facts to our ancient history. Some of it as written by the giant alien gods, some of it written by the semi-giant, semi-divine mixed breed kings or high priests. Next, you see the shipping and boating. Well, they would build the boats, they would float cargo, they would float themselves, the transportation up and down the Euphrates or the Tigris, and they would go visit their son or their brother or their uncle upstream, upriver, or downriver. Next would be sports. Oh, boy. Work hard, play hard. Many of their sports were quite physical, as you see in these artifacts. Wrestling, boxing, running, whatever they can think of to compete, they did. And these ancient sports go way back before Greece ever held an Olympics, or before Greece ever thought about being in existence, thousands of years before Greece. Next, war. Well, the Earthlings who are living under your ziggurat and the Earthlings living 50 miles down the road under my ziggurat may not be friendly to each other, because the God living here isn't friendly with the God living there. And that usually happened when it's cousin versus cousin. Enlil's descendants against Enki's descendants. And you see here many slideshows to where they're either training for war or they're in battle. Gods versus gods. What an artifact these are. So I would look at them closely. You'll find a female involved with this. Not many, but you'll find one, and that is Inanna, the goddess of love and war. Next, under war is gods versus kings. Well, that's not fair. So you'll see artifacts where kings are either dead or conquered and kept as prisoners by the gods. If you cross the gods, you're in trouble. I mean, what chance do you have up against one of these? And the Earthling has no chance. You just get stepped on. So as you go through the gods versus kings, it's very interesting, some of these artifacts. And you literally see a god stepping on an Earthling and crushing him. That's all they had to do. And there's no match. And if an Earthling was heavily defended behind the wall and the fortress and whatever, their flying saucer has more than enough to knock that wall down. So the flying saucer protecting their king will knock down your defenses, and that king will conquer yours because of the help of the god. That makes eventually God battling God. So this god's Earthlings are battling that god's Earthlings. Man learns to kill, and a million ways to do it. Here are slideshows of ancient man being killed by the gods, being captured by the gods. And these are artifacts you've never seen before. Quite probably, I'm sorry, you may have, but quite probably you have not. I call them for what they are. Historical scenes are original history. This is where we came from. This is our predecessors. I strongly urge you to stop fearing aliens, because some of them are obviously friendly to us and try to help us. And if an alien race wanted to make us extinct, it probably would have already happened. I mean, we haven't been around long compared to them. Okay, war, kings versus kings, attacks commanded by the gods. If you read these texts, you'll see so-and-so god told so-and-so king to go over there and conquer such-and-such king. And then sometimes they'll skin that king and throw his skin on the city wall. It's just horrible. Sometimes they impale him. Here it is, man learning to kill man under the most horrible ways. And you'll see some pretty horrible artifacts. Okay? Next, and some text describing some horrible killings. Next is weaving and spinning thread. Well, the goddess Uttu, I call her Uttu, that giant goddess who is a daughter to Enki, her responsibility, realm of responsibility, was the weaving of the thread, the spinning. the weaving, and the clothes manufacturing. And, you know, there's just only so much. There's only so much needed because it's just the gods. But there's only so much one could do. And as the needs for more and more threads, because man enters the scene and man sees that he's nude, right, and needs clothes. So here is the goddess who teaches man how to make his own clothes or whatever else man's making. So very interesting seeing garments made, spinning of the thread by the goddess Utu or Utu, and some much smaller mixed breed learning the trade. Okay, and then of course weaving apparatus. Weaving quotes from texts, weights and measures. Wow, look at artifact number 2. Those are Babylonian weights of measure. We're talking about the organizational needs of a big city, an ancient city, thousands of years old. And as these cities trade with each other, they need a standard of measure. There is Babylon's standard of measure, a complete set of artifacts. Amazing. Just amazing. And again, taught to mankind by the gods. Next, wheel. Well, what's more important than the wheel? The mankind. And here you are, the chariots, what may be a wheelchair, you know. These artifacts are there, wagons, chariots, vehicles of some sort or another, that they're there to make man's work easier, given to man by the gods. The wheel's a biggie, a very biggie for mankind. And we can thank these alien giant gods for the use of the wheel. Writing, written texts and scribes to write them. Well, I'm giving you a slideshow of what cuneiform language looks like on a large hunk of clay, fired hot, which would make you think it's a stone, it's hard as stone, and they lasted for thousands and thousands of years. Here they are. These artifacts were discovered anywhere from the mid-1800s on, where biblical archaeologists went through that area looking for cities, towns mentioned in the Bible, so they can attempt to prove the Old Testament a historical document that can be trusted. Anyway, in doing so, they discovered all these ziggurats, and in the ziggurats, they discovered the cities below, and thousands, tens of thousands of these texts written in our original language, cuneiform, and tens of thousands, if not 100,000, artifacts. I mean, many, many artifacts of every type. Some that will amaze you, some that just won't. But, you know, like the King's List or the text about the flood, that's what you're seeing here on a slideshow. Or maybe a little text about building Noah's Ark. They're there. These things were written, they were documented through text and scenes drawn in a reverse sketch onto a round formed cylinder rock rolled on with clay. You got the negative on the rock, the positive on the clay, and you've got a printing press you can repeat, repeat for all time. You can keep telling the story of that scene. Well, we've lost much of what the story is. Written text and scribes. The Saba was the original scribe. She was also the goddess of grain. So in the beginning, some of them even had multiple areas of responsibility. A lot of work for these gods. There was a great need for these gods to get relieved. Somebody sent us replacements. Never can be possible. It was all denied. So they're on their own. The smartest of them all, who happens to have a sister who's the chief medical officer, she's a DNA expert. Inky is. Inky's son, Ningazita, is. And they start mixing DNA, trying to form a worker. Go to Inky's page. You will see that process being made in all the artifacts, or you can see it on Nan Herzog's page. How important could that be? That's where man, Homo sapien, begins. What a website, I'm trying to tell you. This is a heck of a website. And since you're here, let me state thank you very much for coming. And there's so much here, you couldn't possibly grab it. It would take quite a bit of time. So please, keep coming back. See and experience more and more of this crazy history that we know nothing about. Well, once again, thank you very much for coming. Hope to see you again.